they'll be running 6 chairs and 2 surface lifts. In the South Sierra, you'll find all runs skiable at China Peak and Badger Pass. China got 1 inch of new. Badger still has around 5 feet of base with packed powder and spring snow. And don't forget, this weekend, it'll be their 10th annual Nordic Holiday Races. That's skiing. I'm Jeff Schaefer.
Good evening and welcome to 91 Talkback, 91 KCPR. I'm Frank Thomas, along with
welcome
Dave.
Welcome back, Frank.
It's been a while.
It's been 2 weeks. You missed the Valentine's Day show.
Yeah, I heard that, and that was very, very good. I was unfortunately a little under the weather at the time.
Hope your Valentine wasn't. Enough.
Oh, yes. Golly gee, Mr. Green Jeans.
And, well, instead of dead air, let's say that Open Channel's coming up at 6 o'clock. Why don't you tell them a little bit about that right off the bat?
Open Channel, 6 o'clock, host Rebecca Felig and Mike Medvedoff. The guest tonight is Dr. Warren Baker, president of Cal Poly. Should be a very, very interesting show. You can call up at 6 o'clock at 544-4640 and be able to ask questions of our
I'd imagine
president.
He's the man with the answers. I hope the buck stops there.
The buck stops there, I'll
say. I'm pretty high
but
up.
You can call us at 544-4640 if there's something on your mind. There's lots of things on our mind today.
All right. It's open forum for all of Central California, so if you're within the reach of our voice, 544-4640, if something is particularly on your mind. If not, we have ways of making you talk. Like Jarvis 2. We're going to be talking specifically about Jarvis 2. And what implications that has to you, the student, and to you, the community member. Frank has some very interesting information, I think, on taxes. Of course, that rings a bell in this inflated times.
Exactly.
What with 18? What was it? One, almost 18%.
It's almost 18%.
God, that's as high as the credit card. So, okay, beer at Poly Royal. We'd certainly like to get your opinion on the.
That's really a hot issue. I'd really interested in.
Is it really that hot? Well, we'll.
I mean, it's hot is concerned with me. I'd really like to know what everyone thinks about that. I've heard they've got a lot of, you know, over 2,000 names on a petition circulating, you know, requesting beer at Poly Royal. But is that really representative?
That's what I had a question. KCPR did an Out on the Streets that hopefully we'll hear from later. And I don't know. We'll check out what results they got. Kenny Loggins. We got a big name at... Well, actually, we just finished a big name. You saw that concert, didn't you?
It was an excellent concert in many respects. In other respects, it was loud.
It was loud.
I will say that much. It was definitely loud.
Does loud equal good? I don't know. Well, 544-4640, if you'd like to talk about any of those subjects. While we were on the subject of the Starship, what did you think? I didn't go to the Starship. I probably could have heard it a block away.
Yes, exactly. They didn't play any of their old stuff, for one thing.
They didn't? Well, it's hard.
Didn't Gracie
Slick do all the...
Gracie Slick and another writer whose name escapes me at the moment.
Okay.
The only two songs, tunes, whatever, that were familiar to me were played right at the very end. The last two they did in their original set, not counting Encores. And that was a little disappointing for me. It was like each...
So
it's a 20-minute jam. Yes, it is definitely a new band. I thought the lead guitar player. I guess it was the lead guitar player. The guy with the blonde hair. I don't know his name. He was straight from the 60s. Straight from the 60s.
Yeah.
It was great British, you know. Are there any teachers out there? Didn't think so. Yeah.
Walking well. Well, that's good. But so I wonder if the Starship. I wonder who owns the name of the Starship. I wonder if that's if it's turned into a record company band.
It used to be the airplane, the Jefferson Airplane.
Right. Was Gracie Slick still with it when it was called?
I don't know. I really
the
don't
Starship?
Know.
Starship.
I really don't know.
Something. Well, if you have the answers, 544. We're going to keep pushing this phone number at you because
please
this
call.
Is participation radio, and it's open form. If something's on your mind. This is 2,000 watts of power to voice your opinion or to ask your question. And moving right along, beer at Poly Royal.
Yes, definite.
Yes,
that's a definite question.
It would
question.
Certainly make a lot of money, wouldn't it?
From what I hear, it wouldn't make that much money.
I heard there's one universal word in all the languages. It's a three-letter word, and it's bar. That's the same. You go to Japan, it's bar. Anywhere. It's bar. And there's two things I think people will do. they will drink, and they will travel.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I think when they drink and travel, they go to a bar. And I think we would probably earn a lot of income.
Mm-hmm.
You don't?
From what I heard in,
Okay. We're getting funny signals.
From what I understand, from each $30 keg, they'll make a profit of about $30. And I don't know how many kegs they could sell there. I would imagine not
probably a
that
lot
many.
Up at the. Who knows?
The barbecue always sells out. We got a phone call. Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Well, I have a few answers for your questions about the Jefferson Airplane Starship.
Great. What's your first name?
Steve.
All right, Steve. What's up?
Well, in 1975, that's when the Starship changed from the airplane.
To the Starship.
To the Starship. And at that time, they still had Grace Slick.
So they
And they had Marty Ballin. That's the one name I think the guy couldn't think of. And that was a full-on band with the fiddle, Papa John Creech on fiddle. And at that time, Grace was still in control of her drinking habit. That's what forced her to leave. As far as Marty Ballin leaving the band, I think he's a little more professional than what the band's become now. They're tight and all, but I think they're just putting records out for...
You saw him, didn't you?
No, I didn't really see him. I'm a big Marty Ballin fan. So. Mm.
I heard there was a kind of ill will between Marty Ballin and the rest of the band.
Well, I saw him at Winterland in 1974 after they reformed, and he came out. He wasn't with the group at the time, and he was on the album, but he was just kind of visiting with them and appearing with them slightly. Yeah, he's a very professional, very competent musician.
Did they go into a lot of legal troubles, do you know?
No, they haven't had too many legal troubles, but as far as... The legal ramifications of who owns the name of the Starship, Paul Kantner, the hippie-looking guitarist that they... Sometimes, I don't know, I think they deserve a lot more respect than maybe what you guys gave to them in the opening introduction, because they are a very accomplished group and have been playing for a long time.
They were part of the 60s
yes,
and part of the 70s.
Yes, I admit that. That's
tight and good. And, you know, San Francisco Sound was one of the most devastating musical movements to happen anywhere. And Bill Graham's still profiting from that.
Of course.
I agree.
Band, and I heard the show was really good. They're real loud. I hear you could hear it from the Muckalucks in your hall. Could every guitar solo.
That's...
But, Mickey Thomas is good, too. He goes way back to the Elvin Bishop days.
Mm-hmm.
Fooled around and fell in love. And all I just wanted to do is make sure that they got, you know,
proper
rock justice, because they have... played a lot of good music.
Thanks, Steve. I got a question for you.
Sure, shoot.
Are loud concerts on their way out?
It's hard to say. Punk has emerged, let's say 4 years ago is when we first started seeing the most savage element of punk. And punk is a...
You mean Sex Pistols or...
Sex Pistols. Alice Cooper, when he first came out, he was a real derogatory type of person.
He's changed.
Martha Hoople and these kind of things. But what's happened with anything is you end up with a compromise, and that's where New Wave is taking over. Bands like The Beat, The Police, even Elvis Costello, they're not really punks, they're more New Wave-ish. And they play loud, but groups like Cheap Trick and Ted Nugent and things like that, I mean, there's certain physical ramifications of going to those kind of concerts.
That's true.
And the decibel levels are definitely not in the best interest of the fans or the people on stage. If you notice,
or the ears.
If you spend much time backstage at concerts anymore, most of the musicians have earplugs, which says a lot about...
They
gotta wonder, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just loud makes it sound better. And this is a technique that's been used since day one.
Do you really think... I don't know. I've noticed with a lot of the loud concerts at Poly that sometimes they try to push the sound system a little further than it can go, and the sound comes out a little distorted.
Was it that way at the Starship?
A little bit. Not as much as I've heard at some concerts.
Well, if you don't have a good quality sound system...
or our gym isn't that acoustically...
But I promoted concerts, and I was active at the ASI concerts in 1974. And I just know a lot of insights about how they don't spend a lot of money on good sound systems and how most groups just want to play loud and use the echoplexes and the phase shifters and the electronic gadgetry.
Which is distortion,
basically. It makes it sound a lot more respectable. That's simply a true artist and a good example of a good-sounding band to me.
Yeah!
And Now there's quality music.
Now we're talking.
At the same time, Cheap Trick, I enjoy a lot of their music, but that loud factor, it's always going to be there. There's always going to be bands that are loud, and there's always going to be Count Basies, and I think that's the good news. So you guys hang in there, do a good job, and...
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Steve.
Appreciate your time.
All right.
Adios.
Frank Thomas here with Dave Stein on 91 Talkback. We'll be opening the phone lines to you. Our number's 544-4640, and we'll be taking more calls when we return.
The SCAA Women's Swimming and Diving Championships are coming to Slowtown. Five teams, including league champion Cal Poly, will be competing for the title. Included in the competition will be 1976 Olympic gold medalist on the 3-meter diving board, Jennifer Chandler. The event takes place in the Cuesta College pool February 29th through March 2nd and will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. Admission is free and the public is invited to attend. For more information, call Karen Ludlow at 544-8948 or 546-2311.
Walt Disney's Supreme Achievement in Screen Entertainment will be featured this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. The musical will be Mary Poppins, and your host for the evening will be Brian Hackney.
Is that a movie or is that a soundtrack?
That's soundtrack. Join KCPR in soundtrack this Wednesday night at 6 for the entire musical, Mary Poppins.
Oh, that has the one I love to laugh.
Ha, ha, ha.
Have you ever heard the sequel, I Love to Belch?
Is that done by Al?
Probably will be.
Who knows? 544-4640 if you'd like to talk to us.
Yeah, we got an open switchboard. What about, we covered groups a little bit. I sure would have loved to talk a little bit about Kenny Loggins, but, you know, you don't want to dwell too much on the entertainment scene.
That was amazing how fast that concert sold out.
Do you think a lot of scalpers got tickets?
Personally, no. I don't think that there has never been any need for scalping at Cal Poly, and I think if there was
some for Ambrosia.
There might have been.
I remember.
Well, I don't think on the scale that you might see in Los Angeles or anything like that. I think now that the Kenny Loggins concert has sold out, you may see a lot of scalpers at perhaps our next big concert. Or more than
they
this
could
time.
Get burned, I think, if they don't watch some. True. I thought Starship would have a. Starship did not sell out, from what I understand.
Came pretty darn close. That was a pretty full house.
They packed the gym. Okay.
Well Kenny Loggins, reasonably packed.
I look forward to seeing Kenny Loggins.
So do I.
I certainly hope. I got my tickets, thank gosh.
thank gosh.
I wonder if they're going to open another show.
I don't know.
They did that for Tim Weisberg, right?
I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I don't know if they can do it. But if they do, that would sure help out all those people who didn't get tickets.
I think it would help everyone concerned, if he can make two performances.
It's a question of whether ASI Concerts can pull off, too.
Speaking of concerts, Sweet Comfort Band tonight, too.
Sweet Comfort Band, yes. Absolutely great band. I understand there are still tickets on sale for that at like $4.50 and $5.
They have kind of a select audience, a smaller select audience, and it's great that they can bring them to Cal Poly, you know, with a small
They're a pretty tight group.
I've heard, what did they have, Searching for Love and Hold On Tight?
Hold On Tight.
And When I Was a Child, something like
that. They appeal primarily to the Christian community, but they're a darn good band anyway.
And I wonder what that does for Polly's image. Speaking of the image, beer at Poly Royal, 544-4640. I'd really like to get your opinion on whether we should have beer at Poly Royal, what it does to Poly's image, whether it would change Poly's image at all. Do we have an out on the streets that we can play on alcohol?
I think we do. Why don't we start that right now? Out on the streets.
Out on the corner, out in the street.
KCPR is out on the streets, asking you the question. Do you think alcohol should be allowed on the Cal Poly campus?
I don't think we need it on campus. There's too many young people. If people want to have alcohol, they should go downtown and have alcohol.
Well, it wouldn't be bad after class to go get a beer, you know?
I don't really think they should have it. There's too much, like, if you've seen San Jose State, I mean, they can have alcohol on the campus, and there's beer bottles and everything everywhere.
I'm against it. I think school should be for a studying atmosphere.
Oh, I want to have it.
I guess all the other campuses have it.
I'm indifferent to it.
I think they should have it because I'm from New York, and they had bars on campus there, and I think that it's the student's choice.
As long as they keep it out of the dorms as much as they are now, then I don't think we'll have any problems.
I think it should be allowed. I don't think we should have it.
I don't think it should be on campus.
I think how President Baker stated it was okay. He did the right thing.
People are here for an education, not to get drunk.
Down on the corner, out in the street.
Out on the Streets, a community affairs presentation of KCPR.
Well, it looks like most of the people said no, Frank.
That was surprising. I wonder if they took their survey right by the library.
No, that's not fair. I wonder. Would 2,000 students said yes, right?
At least signed a petition, you know, to say.
You've seen how many polyroyals, Frank?
Gosh, 4.
Is the atmosphere conducive to it up at the tractor pulls or stuff like
not
that?
Not at the tractor pulls, but where they're proposing it, like the polyroyal barbecue, which I understand is a pretty mellow event, I really can't see where it would harm a whole lot. It would be a great experiment. We got a phone call. Why don't we go to that?
The image could be at stake.
Image could be at stake.
Be a great question. Pardon me, caller. I'm sorry. I think that'd be a great question for President Baker when he comes at 6. Open Channel, by the way, is coming up 6. You'll have a chance to talk to where the buck stops.
Dr. Baker. Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Well, I'm speaking for the people of New York State, and I just heard the woman who really sounded terrible saying, I'm from New York, and I blah, blah, blah. I'm from New York, and I'm against beer on campus.
Really? Can you talk a little bit more about that? What's your first name, by the way?
Debbie.
Okay, Debbie. Expand, if you could.
Well, the main thing is, I don't believe that booze and studying mixes. The minute you go out and get loaded, you put it off. It's just like pot. You don't want to do anything. And alcohol kills brain cells. And if they want to drink, there's plenty of bars in town. I really don't have much more to say except that I'm from New York and I'm against booze.
Well, hang on the line if you could. One of the reasons that you came to Cal Poly, was that possibly because...
I'm a Cuesta student.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted to stick up for the people from New York that they're not all like that sleazy sounding girl on the radio a few minutes ago.
Debbie, thank you for your call.
Okay, bye.
All right.
544-4640.
Yeah, we got some conversation rolling. Why don't we try and take a whole bunch of quick phone calls? We won't tie you up for very long. What was the number again? So let's
544-4640
in stereo. We're talking about close, beer at Poly Royal, possibly alcohol on campus. It would. I'm positive, Frank. It would generate loads of income.
Yes.
It is the thing to do to go and have a beer.
Alcohol does generate loads of
question
income.
Question is when you. I wonder if it would be. I just wonder whether Cal Poly would be going mainstream or whether we should stay the way we were. I heard one of the actualities, by the way, are recorded statements that I heard on the newscast today.
Mm-hmm.
That does it degrade Cal Berkeley's image? Does it degrade UCLA's image, Stanford's? Would it degrade ours?
These are all
would
valid
it improve
questions.
Ours? And ones that need answers. Do we have 544-4640? Let's get a whole bunch of roundtable calls in here.
Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Hi.
What's your first name?
Debbie.
Hey, Debbie, what's up?
I was just calling about beer on campus, and I'm against it. I'm an RA over in Sierra Madre, and I went up to Humboldt for an RA convention this week, and I think they have a wet campus, and I think there's a lot of problems that they have up there that they're not willing to admit or contribute to.
Like what? Tell us.
Alcohol, noise in the housing.
This is campus housing, right?
Yeah.
Now, does Humboldt have a keg rule? In the dorms?
Yeah, they're only allowed to have one keg at a time, and they have to have 4 books signed for it.
Okay. That doesn't sound very strict.
No.
Were there beer bottles all over the place?
All over. Lots of trash. And they had their dorms are a lot newer than ours, and they look a lot older. They're just really a mess.
Really?
Really.
Would the same thing happen to Cal Poly? I know nothing had happened immediately. Would the people change? Would the atmosphere change over a while, or what would happen?
I think so. I didn't see a steady atmosphere there at all like I see here at Cal Poly, and I have a feeling that that would change, too.
Do you happen to know about the average age of the people on campus, how they appear? I mean, were they young people or older people?
Were under 21-year-olds obviously drinking?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
So it wouldn't... On campus, though... But... now, these people were in the dorms, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So... I hope a bunch of people from the dorms call in and express their opinions, too.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I happen to live off campus, and so it really doesn't affect me too much. Not much of my social life is really involved on the campus.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you want to come to a clean campus, and I happen to agree with you. I think one of the beautiful things about Cal Poly is the clean atmosphere.
For sure.
Thank you, Debbie, for the call.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
544-4640 is our number. I'm Frank Thomas with Dave Stein, and you're on 91 Talkback.
What's your first name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Not much. I'm just calling in response to that girl that called from New York, which I really see
which has no relevance to drinking beer or anything, but I think that,
you Well, you know where the drinking age in New York is, don't you?
18 or something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't really see why that what that has to do with having beer on campus over here, you see what I'm saying? And that it would be, you know, it would be something that's used over here as maybe by a more mature group, being that they all are over 21 anyways.
Who's over 21?
The people that will be drinking beer on campus, right? It's going to be controlled, of course.
That's very true.
That's also true very funny, too. I remember
Why?
When I was in the
well,
dorms.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I just got out of the dorms, and you know, I mean, we did plenty of drinking there and stuff, but...
This is true.
But, you have to do it on the sly, right?
Yeah, you know, if you're not 21, then you'll get your act together and do it somewhere else. But, like... If you're 21, then I don't see why you shouldn't be able to drink on campus. You know, I don't see why everyone thinks that anybody that drinks on campus is automatically going out and getting loaded. You know, they all think that we're going to all go out and kill our relatives or something. I don't But, you know.
So Mike, you say a controlled student...
Yeah, I mean, people can handle themselves. I mean, you know, we're civilized, right?
That really is a good point. Is it, mm-hmm. Should we look out, should we guard other people's welfare?
I mean, I think...
It would raise a bunch of money for the school.
When I turn 21, I'd be in there.
All right, Mike, thank you for your call.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
544-4640 is our number. It's about 18 minutes before open channel. And
we're talking about beer, possibly beer at Poly Royal, beer at camp on campus.
And we have another phone call.
Okay. First, let me ask if you'd like to become a supporting member of your Cal Poly radio station. And tax-deductible donations from people... just like you, help make our special programs possible. If you've heard of our special programming guide, or classical programming guide, rather, or let's just call it a programming guide. If you've heard of it, you know that it's a monthly newsletter that contains Metropolitan Opera information, Pacific concert schedules, and the latest on soundtrack, which you hear Wednesday nights and Saturday mornings. And if you'd like to receive the classical programming guide, you can just drop us a note. And include a contribution if you'd like. We can certainly use it.
That would be awful nice.
KCPR, San Luis Obispo, Programming Guide, Cal Poly, 93407. And thanks for helping to make special programs possible, possibly like this one, on your campus radio station. Take it away, Frank.
Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Marie.
Hey, hello, Marie. What do you think about beer on campus?
Well, or I think that most of the people that so far have talked about beer on campus have ignored the important issues.
Which
and
are?
And that it's about time that Cal Poly move into the 20th century and offer their students and their faculty rights as adults and as members of an adult population. And nobody's going to be forcing anybody to drink beer, and nobody's going to be forcing anybody to do anything. And I think with the right rules and regulations that everyone could drink beer and drink it very responsibly on Cal Poly's campus.
You think in the dorms and everything, right?
People that are 21 can drink beer in the dorms. There's no reason that they should be restricted in their own residence as to what they do or what they have to do.
That's a good point. I like that.
But, Marie, there's not that many people in the dorms that are over 21.
So what you're telling me then is that because there aren't enough people that we deny those people that have those rights as individuals to do what they want behind their own closed doors, that ability to do that. Is that what you're telling me? That for the majority, we deny the minority rights. I don't think that's what the United States is all about. I don't think that's what Cal Poly should be all about.
That's a darn good point.
It is a good point. Of course, people who would oppose alcohol might say that the atmosphere with alcohol would detract from those who don't participate. What do you think about that?
I disagree that, I am in no way in favor of, you know, rampant people running around tearing down buildings or anything as far as concerns alcohol. But I think if you look at it from a responsible point of view, and if your view of students is one of that they can handle responsibility, then I don't think you will have that. I think now if you look in the dorms, they have parties. They have alcohol. When you walk through the concert lines, they have alcohol. And it's just a matter of catching up with what's already there. And why should we just hide the fact and ignore the fact that it does exist? Let's get some education about it. Let's teach people how to be responsible drinkers rather than to, you know, just ignore the fact that it exists and say, well, we're a puritanical campus and we believe morally we can't have alcohol on campus and blah, 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 blah.
What's your first name?
Marie?
Marie, What do you think of the possibilities of us having alcohol and computer-assisted registration in the same year? We could be going into the 2000th century.
Could be. We're moving up there.
You stated your point very well, Marie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. 544-4640 is the number here at 91 Talkback KCPR. We've got open channel coming up in a little bit, but we're going to take a little bit of a break. To talk a little bit about Jarvis 2 when we return.
Summit Expedition, ASI Recreation and Tournaments Committee, in co-sponsorship with ASI Outings Committee, is presenting a program on Summit Expedition the evening of Saturday, March 1st, 1980, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. in UU 220. Summit Expedition is a unique and challenging backpacking and mountaineering program. In addition to a guest speaker, a 30-minute film will be shown, featuring spectacular rock climbing and a variety of other wilderness activities. The Summit Expedition presentation is free. For more information, call Doug at 543-1202.
And we're back. Welcome back to 91 Talkback. I want to remind you that Warren J. Baker, President Dr. Warren J. Baker, is the honored guest on tonight's edition of Open Channel. You can join Rebecca Felig and her guest interviewer Mike Medvedoff from the 91 News Department and find out how the president feels about such topics as you'd like to discuss. So remember, the buck stops there, and I certainly hope you don't miss that. That's coming right up at 6 in a few minutes. Also, Spotlight, which comes on Saturday nights at 4:30, Saturday afternoons at 4:30, let's call it that. If you're a Beatles freak, it's getting hard to talk, Frank, you're going to have to bail me out.
Yeah.
But if you are a Beatles freak, this Saturday coming up, it is the Beatles on Spotlight, so you be sure and tune in for that. That's interviews and music with an artist. Jarvis, too, or should we go right to the phones? What's up?
Well, we have someone. Well, let's the 30 seconds or so about Jarvis 2. Jarvis 2 is, we'll mention it really quickly, exactly what it's supposed to do. Cut personal income tax by 50%.
And we would start paying for education directly. Using it would start paying, right?
Well, a lot of people find it very, very dangerous, and that it might affect our standard of services here at California.
Or the California way, as it were, that education is expensive, but ignorance is twice as expensive.
Uh-huh. We have a phone call. Why don't we go to that? Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Hello.
What's your first name?
My name's Ken.
Ken, what's up?
Oh, not much.
What do you think about paying $1,000 a year for tuition?
Well, I don't think it will ever come around to that. You know, I think...
You really don't?
No. I think that there are going to be cuts, and the small people are going to be hurt. You know, like, namely, maybe, you know, like, the music department or, like, small sports or something. I think we should take advantage of, you know, all the people that we have registering here and, you know, applying here. Maybe raise the price, you know, to apply here.
So we should start paying a higher cost for education, right?
Well, you know, money's got to come somewhere, and it's, you know, people are voting, you know, to take it away from education, so it has to come somewhere. And the people getting educated, you know, should have to pay for it.
Well, it's not just education. That's a 25% cut of the general fund for everybody.
Huh. And they do something on the income taxes, too. That'd be cut.
And there was something here that most people think of...
It'd be a rather undelicate kind of cut.
It would, extremely undelicate.
In the Jarvis 2 treatment. But, you know, they got Prop 13. Except, what was your name again? I'm sorry, I forgot. Your first name?
Ken.
Ken, what do you think about, you know, cutting taxes on the state level and the city level? Really, don't you think we should be going after the government level? Uh-oh. Do you think that's where the problem is? Or?
Yeah, I think there's only, you know, so much you can cut. And you know, I think the people that are trying to cut taxes are, you know, cutting their own throats. I think the people that vote for it, you know, are directly, you know, favored by it. And, you know, I guess they don't have kids in school and stuff. You know, because, you know, we are directly affected by it. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't vote for it. And I don't think any teachers would.
Oh, gosh.
There's an interesting analogy, not analogy, but point brought up. When the typical voter... thinks about money spent on the state budget, they mostly think of, like, the governor's office or the legislature, tax collection agencies, higher education, prisons, and mental hospitals. That only accounts for about one-fifth of our total budget.
What's the other?
The other four-fifths is it goes to state money, which is spent at the local government level to support programs as education, health and welfare, and property tax relief.
Relief?
Uh-huh.
That's right, we're still being bailed out from Prop 13, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be going for a while.
So we should start paying more. You think, now, so you think $1,000 is a bit, that it won't ever get to that, but you say
I think that's, you know, that's a bit too much, you know, from 72 to 1,000. You know, I think we'd be losing a lot of students, and that would, you know, definitely be a drawback to the educational system.
That's true. What it was founded on was that, you know, you all get.
Do you think Cal Poly itself would be really affected by the $1,000 tuition? Cal Poly is totally impacted.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's, you know, pretty much, you know, upper middle class or middle class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vast majority. I don't think that, you know, it'll hurt it greatly, but, you know, I think that, you know, the education, you know, shouldn't just be for upper middle class. You know, I think that, you know, it kind of separate the class. You know, I think everybody should have the opportunity to get an education, you know, pretty much a free education, you know, at $72, you know.
Essentially.
And books.
Yeah.
Hey, good call. Thanks for the
call. Thank you very much for your call. Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Hi, Frank. This is John.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Dave. Listen, I'm calling and saying that you guys are doing a really good job tonight. I just wanted to make
pat on the back time.
Slight correction to you, Dave.
What did I do? I'm sorry.
The spotlight.
Oh!
The Beatles will be a week from this Saturday.
Oh, excuse me. In case you don't know, this is John Furtado. He has one of the most recognizable voices on KCPR. Tell us a little more about Spotlight, if you could, in about 30 seconds.
In about 30 seconds. Okay, well, Spotlight's a weekly program which features in-depth interviews with modern artists in the recording world. And not just modern, because it's going to be the Beatles. It's going to be a complete history of their rise to fame, I guess. It's the little program that's going to be entitled Beatlemania. Just like the movie that was put out, or the Broadway show that was in L.A., New York, and San Francisco. And
so
it's going to be with interviews from John, George, Ringo, and Paul.
All right,
and
that's
plus their music.
And that's next Saturday, right?
That's March, looking at my calendar, it's March 8th. Okay.
Okay, so do we have a spotlight this Saturday?
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, thanks for setting it straight.
Okay, good enough.
See you later.
You guys are doing a great job today.
Oh, bless
you. Merci beaucoup.
You speak French so
well. I speak French so good. I got learned how to speak English, too. Good.
Anyway, well, do you have some more facts that you can enlighten us on Jarvis 2?
A little bit, but why don't we take a little bit of a break? Our number is 544-4640. We might have time for a couple more calls, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Jarvis 2 when we return.
Now, Pinocchio, you know, telling me the truth. You know how your nose grows. Are you eating okay?
Yes, sir. I haven't touched junk food for days.
Ah, your nose, it's growing. I bet you're not exercising regularly either.
Every day.
Not a fib. And I guess you're not having a regular health examinations that include your spine and the nervous system either.
Okay, so I'm not doing all those things, but why should I? I'm just a dummy.
No, that's why you're a dummy, for not practicing preventive health care.
A public service message from the American Chiropractic Association.
And welcome back to 91 Talkback here with Dave Stein and Frank Thomas. And we're in the waning moments of 91 Talkback. Coming up at 6 o'clock, the honored guest, Dr. Warren J. Baker, will be on Open Channel. That's coming up. Frank, do you have something?
Well, a point about Jarvis, too, is the fact that a lot of people say you have to get rid of that surplus, that $3 billion surplus that they have every year, after taxes and everything like that. And what a lot of people don't understand is that is a one-shot thing. That is a surplus built up over the years.
Years, right.
And it's not
that they had
to
have by law, right?
And the California
Constitution
says
right.
You have to have a balanced budget. So they have a little bit of a surplus to handle emergencies. It's a one-shot deal. If you use up that surplus in 1 year, that's it. It's gone unless you decide to raise taxes.
And that's being used for property tax relief right now, isn't it?
Right now.
Interesting.
We have a phone call. Why don't we go to our lines?
Right to it.
Hi, you're on 91 Talkback.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Ed.
Ed, what's up?
Oh, not much. I was just kind of upset. You know, it seems like we're getting caught up in a little battle between the legislature and the governor's office over this Jaws 2, as they call it.
Go ahead. This is the place to express your point.
Well, I don't know. You know, it seems like state legislature is trying to get back to the governor's office for their surplus and budget. And I really don't think that's what the legislature should be doing. They should be worried more about where the money is spent, and it should be spent right instead of trying to take punitive measures on the governor's office.
Do you think it'd ever get straight without the threatening or almost impending doom, but certainly Howard Jarvis went with Prop 13, as you recall. He certainly got he got a bill through the legislature very, very quickly when they came up with the moderation for the property tax relief.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, is that the people didn't realize that they ended up paying for it anyway. On one of the things about this property taxes are deductible from your income taxes. So if you don't pay the property tax, you can't take the deduction on your income taxes. So you end up paying for it in your federal income tax. So you're not saving any money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine it depends.
Depends on what bracket you're in.
Well, of course, but the only people that benefited from the Jarvis Cahn initiative were the people who were the landlords, okay? The people who were renters who were in the lower tax bracket.
Yeah, they didn't get very much at all.
They didn't get anything.
And what do we get 69 cents a month on our phone bill?
Golly, gosh, darn, you know.
Yeah, really.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good call.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We've only got a couple more minutes. Why don't we take a little break and wrap
up here? We're going to take a bake and wrap up.
We're going to take a break today. We'll be back when we return.
Hey, where'd you get this great sausage?
I made it myself. If you want to learn how to make your own sausage, follow these simple instructions. Go to the Atascadero Veterans Hall, room 207, Thursday morning, March 6th at 10 o'clock, and listen to Dr. George York, food technologist for Cooperative Extension UC Davis. Dr. York will answer your questions about supplies needed, food safety with sausage, storage, and how to proceed to make your own sausage. Admission is free to everyone and directions will be available. That's Sausage Making with Dr. George York, Thursday morning, March 6th from 10 to 11:30 at the Atascadero Veterans Hall, room 207.
The Grover City Recreation Department is sponsoring a drive to collect aluminum cans, bottles, and newspapers. The event will be held on Saturday, March 8th. You can take your bottles, cans, and papers to the McDonald's on Grand Avenue or the Recreation Hall in Grover City on 12th and Troville Streets. Those who participate will receive a certificate that will be redeemable at McDonald's. If you'd like to know more, call 489-0158. Remember, that's Saturday, March 8th. Our environment will thank you for your cooperation.
You really shouldn't condemn them before they have a chance to really defend themselves. We'll have to wait for a few spokespeople to really, I guess, emerge.
Well, you know, I'd like to hear some women call in and, you know, voice their opinion. That's basically why I called.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Well, women, you are hailed to 544-4640. No, not to the draft, not quite yet. Let's know what you feel about the ERA and the draft, whether women should have the privilege to serve. 91 Talk Back is going to go away for a brief 30 seconds. I'm going to run away and get some more water. It's hard to talk after your throat gets dry. It's 5:56.
Start your Saturday mornings out right at 9 o'clock with a touch of bluegrass.
Bluegrass?
We'll have bluegrass, newgrass, traditional and Irish music, swinggrass, and Grisman's dog music. It ain't no flatland music.
Can I make a request right now?
Hold on. At the last 15 minutes, requests will be taken for the following week.
That's the Bluegrass Hour on KCVR, Saturday mornings at 9.
Okay, we are back. Dave Stein with you on 91 Talk Back. A quick look at what is coming up at 6 o'clock in the fleeting minutes. Marijuana is coming up. It'll be sifting through the airwaves with Rebecca Feelig. She's set to discuss the pros and cons of the 1980 marijuana initiatives. And naturally, as she always does, she brings in the experts. You'll be talking to Dr. Norman Murphy, who's a doctor of psychology from the Counseling Center, and Norman Stone, who's the... What a last name. Norman Stone, for the county coordinator for the initiative. And are we going to go to the phone lines? Yes. 544-4640 is the number to call. There's always room for more. You're online with Dave Stein.
Hello.
Hi, what's your first name?
My first name is Carol.
Hey, Carol, what's up?
Well, I'm calling to talk to you about the issue of drafting women. I just tuned in your program.
What do you think?
Well, my reaction is that the Equal Rights Amendment hasn't been passed, and until that happens... women will not be drafted. We don't even have equal rights yet.
That is true. And the Congress has, as I think almost unanimously said that women shan't be drafted.
Exactly, but my point is that until you give us equal rights, you can't expect anything else from us.
You know, that is a valid point. What do you think? Have you checked out researched the ERA very much? Do you know very much about it?
Well, I know enough about it. I couldn't, you know, give you a whole rap. It's basically, equal pay for equal work, yeah. Equal rights.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it could be stated in one sentence, and I just did it.
I certainly hope it gets carried.
I do, too.
All right, thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Janet saying that that she... Donna, can you turn that down a little bit, the delay? I'm hearing the delay, and it's sounding really funny. Thank you. Janet's saying that until we give them equal rights, that they should not have the privilege, that we can't ask them to serve. And that's certainly fair. The ERA is another can of worms that I don't think we really have time to open with, or open at this time. 91 Talkback's going to come back next Thursday at 5:15. God willing, Frank Thomas will be here. He's down in L.A., 544-4640 is the number. We've got time for about one more caller. And remember, after Open Channel tonight, it's Bicycle Bob and the Oldie Show. Well, what have we talked about tonight? We've talked about marijuana, and we've talked about the Starship. Funny they should come in the same breath. And the Sweet Comfort Band. We got a few looks at what a person thought about Yahweh music, which you hear, I guess, Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, and Tuesday nights before the city council, and every other week, Tuesday nights from 7 to 9, you hear Yahweh music. Guy found it very inspiring. I think that's neat that you can listen to music and have it serve, you know, kind of a dual purpose. We didn't talk about Ronald Reagan. Lord knows I tried to coax that one out of you guys, but no comments on that one tonight. No talks about Carr. But we did talk a little bit about the hostages. We got a call from the president, as it were, at least a friend disguising himself as one. And we talked a little bit about the Russians and Afghanistan. No one decided to talk about the rain. I guess it's good enough that we ignore that. Okay, thanks for joining me on 91. Thanks for listening to 91 Talkback tonight. It's a growing program, and I hope that if you have any comments or suggestions, you let us know. We have a suggestion box right here in our lobby on the Poly Campus, Graphic Arts Room 201. If you got all that, stay tuned for Open Channel. It's up next on KCPR San Luis Obispo.
And they're pitching. Kim Graham on the mound. Kim, of course, is 1-4 on this year, even though she had an impressive start against the San Jose Sunbirds, but she got really defeated because of some really bad infielding on her fielders. But they've matured a little bit, and this team is doing quite well with no score. And Bob Schultz is with me. And Bob, I think you have the starting lineups for the Poly Mustangs. Why don't you run them down?
Okay, thank you, Randy. Yvonne Fluck is playing right field, batting first. Leanne Britt, batting second, is catcher Kim Graham with her 1-4 record. Pitching, Robin Down in the cleanup position at first base. Linda Edo at third base, batting fifth. Janine Cardiff in left field, batting sixth. Renee Porter in center field. Sherry Fertitta at shortstop. And rounding out the lineup is Jolene Matsunami playing second base. It is a beautiful day, and we're right here below the aquacade at the swimming pool, so if you can, come on out. It'll be a doubleheader, and it should be pretty exciting.
Also... Oh, I'm sorry. Also, the crowd out here I wanted to mention was quite substantial. Usually some of the softball teams or games that we have seen, as we look down the both right field and left field lines, as we look down this first baseline under the trees over by the racquetball courts, you got just crowds sitting there kind of enjoying the sun and picnic-type atmosphere. And as we look down the third baseline, we also notice sitting up there on that little hill by the softball soccer field, a lot of people just taking in a game and enjoying themselves. And I know, Dave, that we're having a lot of things here on KCPR and a lot of reports, so I thought I might as well kill two birds with one stone. I've got Donna Pangburn here, and Donna went to go visit. Now, what exactly was it, Donna?
It's Design Village.
Okay, why don't you tell us something about it?
Okay, if you haven't walked through Poly Canyon and Design Village, it's a must. All the architecture students and environmental engineering, they've set up structures, all their projects, and you can walk through each one, and they'll give you a tour, and they're incredible. They sleep 12 people. Some of them sleep 16 people. They're made of cardboard. They're made of everything. I can't even believe it. And you'll also see little men running around with clipboards, and they're judging them. So they're all earthquake-proof, things like this.
I think KCPR should invest in one of those.
Sounds good to me.
Randy, I wanted to ask, are you right next to the racquetball courts? Is that where you're at?
Right now, Dave, we are right behind the home plate here, which just about is right by the racquetball courts. They're right off to our right, and we're right by the right in the kind of a catty corner, four corners here. We got on one corner the game, the baseball game, the other corner the racquetball court, the men's gym on the other side, and right over to this left, the left of us is the aquacade, and we're just right in the middle of everything.
Okay, and you got a really nice crowd out there, right?
Will do, or sure do. A lot of people out here, and if you have some time taking a look at Poly Royal, taking a good softball game, there's going to be a doubleheader here, and as we take leave, we note that it's the top of the third inning. Fresno's up, where is no score. Anyway, Fresno has a runner over at first base with the batter up, and take you through the first pitch. They're trying to steal the throw to Matsunami at second, and they get her at second base to end that inning. On the play, one of the Fresno runners tried to steal second, and Leanne Britt gunned down over to Matsunami for the out, and that's three outs in the top of the third inning. So, Dave, I'll take it back to give it back to you now, and we've gone 2.5 innings here. There is no score.
Okay, and we'll be back at the softball game a little bit later, probably a little bit after 2 o'clock. Right now, let's get back into some more music and the Kinks. Hate to do that to you, but we're going to fade Boss Gags out of the way, and we're going to go live and remote now out to the Aquacade, and Vivi St. Amon has got our Poly Royal Queen, Lynn Newcomb. Vivi.
Yes, David, we're here at the men's pool, and we're watching the crowd file out after the women's PE department put on the swim show called Free to Be. And now we've got Poly Royal Queen herself, Lynn Newcomb, and what did you think of that show, Lynn?
It was really good. The precision and grace are something else to watch. The girls are really good.
Okay, what have you, what else? You've been walking around just looking at all the things and looking over your kingdom here?
Right. I'm trying to stop in every department I can, take a look around. Cause tomorrow we're going to be really busy, so I'm trying to spend as much as I can time today as I can on campus.
Are you just basically PR, running around, saying hello and keep everyone smiling?
Right. That's it, exactly. And people ask me questions, I can tell them things, where things are, things like that.
Vivi.
What have you enjoyed so far at the best, this just today? Not tomorrow yet, but just today.
The OH department has a fantastic display. The flower show is really good. The displays, the landscape displays are good, too.
Okay, I guess that's it. We'll hopefully get a hold of her tomorrow again, and there's lots and lots of people were here, David.
Vivi, before you go away, could I ask Lynn a question? I guess you're not there. Well, Vivi's gone, and let's get back into music here at KCPR with Bad Company.
Command post right outside the Aqua swim pool here on the Cal Poly campus, and as we look around, we see all the people walking by, and right now we happen to have a very interesting individual walking by, and just a typical person on the street walking by in a swimsuit with a sweat and a swimming hat and rouge on her cheeks here. Lisa, what is this? You just came out of the swim thing. How was it?
It was excellent. If anybody wants to see an excellent show with fine family entertainment for all ages, please come to the women's swim show tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You'll really enjoy it, especially the Esther Williams act.
Of course, that was not a paid political announcement. However, I must admit, though, you guys did a great job out there. I mean, isn't that kind of rough? Some of the things you were doing that I can't repeat on radio, not that it's, you know, it's just very technical, that's the reason why. Some of those things out there were absolutely incredible. I mean, how can you go underneath, have your upper body in the lower part of the water, and then start going up with your legs over the surface of the water and make it look like you're pushing away? Or, well, everybody else knows, right? Well, see, the KCPR audience sure knows. So, is that kind of rough to do, though?
Well, it does take a lot of talent and strength, but we do manage through a motion called sculling underneath the water, where we create a balance of equilibrium and we manage to keep our strenuous legs above the water. It does take talent, but we manage.
Were you planning on writing a book at all?
I was planning on doing it, but I was going to wait till I graduated.
I see. One other thing I happened to realize is you were also officiating at that Powder Puff game that KCPR aired yesterday. What did you think of the game as an official?
The game was I thought it was run really well. The girls were playing a clean game. There was a lot of hard hitting, a lot of swearing, but we were managing to control it all. Those girls are really rough. They really like to get out there and hit one another.
I'm glad KCPR didn't have a mic down there on the field. During the game, the score ended 0-0, and I noticed the end of the game, or end of the first half, it was kind of questionable whether or not the half ended or not. What exactly, first off, you had a whistle, and everybody sat down around in their little halftime powwows there, and next thing we know, as we're talking to our halftime guests, they start playing again. What happened?
Well, what happened was that one of the officials threw a flag on the play, the last play, and the clock ran out during the play, and we were unsure about what procedure you had to take after a penalty's been thrown. And the official who threw the penalty wasn't sure if it was a penalty at all, and we were having a discrepancy, so we just decided to play it over because of the indecision.
Are you going to be on the staff working with the Powder Puff Bowl this Saturday?
Yes, I am.
Good luck.
Oh, thank you.
So from what I understand with that game, you might need it here. We've been talking to Lisa, one of the girls here on the... let's have a big hand for Lisa, studio audience. Okay, yeah, all right. Well, we're out here, and as we're talking, as we're looking around, I happen to notice some guy walking around with a very weird antenna. Excuse me, sir, what is that contraption?
It's called Lupus Yagi.
Is there any relation to his brother, the one we have here at KCPR?
What's the brother's name?
I'm not exactly sure.
Sid Yagi, yes. He's a very famous relative from downtown Los Osos or something like that?
Yagiland.
Yagiland. Oh, Yagiland, right next to...
right by Bayward Park, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought so. We'll take leave from this situation, and I understand that Bob down there, Bob Schultz, are you alive down there? Bob, of course.
Yes, I'm alive. Perfectly and...
offering. Bob, you down there?
Yes, I'm alive.
What's going on at the game, Bob?
Well, a lot has happened since we spoke with you last. The game is now in the top of the sixth inning. Cal Poly has one run. Fresno also has one. The runs have been scored a little strange. We just had a pickoff play at second base. Fresno runner picked off at second base, took a little big two lead there. As I was saying, Cal Poly drew first blood in the bottom of the third. Sherry Fertitta blooped a little Texas League single into short left field, and when the pitcher wheeled to pick her off at first, the ball sailed wildly into right field, and Fertitta circled the bases and came in home with Cal Poly's run. And in the top of the fifth, Fresno, not to be outdone, Vernie Miller belted one down the left field line past the Cal Poly left fielder, and that one went for a home run.
What is the score right now, Bob?
The score is 1-1.
Okay,
immediately following that, there was a really strange play. Peggy Bell hit one down the left field line that Cal Poly left fielder Janine Cardiff just could not catch. It fell, and Peggy Bell wound up at third for a triple. Then there was a long pause. There was no pitch. And finally, the Cal Poly pitcher threw to second, and I guess Peggy Bell had missed second base. The umpire called her out there. But it was a very strange turn of events, because usually when a runner misses second base, Sheil in this case, will go right back. But there's a long pause. But the Cal Poly players were alert, and that's what happened there.
Okay, this is in the sixth inning. How many innings does this game have?
I believe the first game is 9 innings and the second game is 7, but I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, so you've got 3 more innings to go. How about if we come on back to you in about 20 minutes and see what's going on?
Okay, that'd be really good.
Okay, thank you much, Bob. And we've also got a remote unit going out to the carnival, so we'll try and see what's going out there for you. Right now, let's go back to some music and Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Set up selling drinks and hot dogs and other things like that. What are some of the games and events they're playing here, Kim?
Well, right over here to my left, there is a pillow fight, and it looks like they're just about ready to have their fight right now, and there's quite a few, the penny toss and such things as that, but let's get some opinions from the people that are here.
Okay, we have a high school student, Jimmy. Jim is a student at Morro Bay High School, and have you been here all day, Jim? And what have you done so far?
Not much, just eat.
Eating a lot of food. There are a lot of concession stands around?
Yeah, there's a lot of good food.
Really? We have some gentlemen here from Bakersfield College. Jimmy, what have you been doing today?
We just got here.
Have you gone to any of the exhibits, the horse show or the Opricate or anything like that?
He was over in the Ag Department and it's pretty nice.
Well, what's going on over in the Agricultural Department today?
Not much. There's a lot of exhibits and stuff.
Have you been having a good time here today?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Tim, we're really...
What have you been doing here today?
I just won a glass and I was kind of being in that office.
Really? How did you win the glass? You won that in the dime toss, huh? Is there any other prizes that you could win in there?
Oh, yeah, there's ashtrays and big beer glasses and some other neat things.
Great. Are you having a good time at Poly Royal?
Yeah, it's real fun.
Hello, Tim. Tim.
Having a good time at Poly Royal?
Oh, they are having a good time.
This is Tim Tomastic with Kim over here at the carnival near the food processing plant, and we'll go back to you, Dave, and hopefully in a little while we have a little more information for you.
Okay, we're really having a problem receiving Tim over there. We'll try and go back a little. That's the Eagles and Hotel California with a scratch in it, which that record will not be played again, I can promise you. In fact, as soon as I stop this turntable, I'm going to take it and throw it against the wall. No, this is KCPR, and we're your Poly Royal station. And right now, we're going to head on out for a short report from the softball game. And Randy Cardoon. Hello, Randy.
Randy's not with you quite yet, Dave. This is Dave Hudson. We're up here with, we just got in some new RPL. We borrowed from KCBX, public radio station here in San Luis Obispo. And this is the first chance we've had to use it so far. Poly Royal just got it in, just turned it on a few minutes ago. But Randy is out here, and I believe he does have some things to say about the softball game. Randy?
Why, thank you, Dave. I'm right here, and it's true. The game is going quite well. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning. Bob Schultz is down there. Bob, what is the story?
Da-da, it got down to me finally. Well, this is Bob Schultz at last from the girls' softball game. The regulation 7 innings is over. We're in the bottom of the 8th. That means extra innings here. It's still Cal Poly 1 and Fresno 1. Our drastically unofficial stats have Fresno with 1 run, 5 hits, and 1 error, and Cal Poly with 1 run, 2 hits. Cal Poly right now has a runner at 3rd and 2 outs, so we'll try and keep tabs on the game.
So you are in extra innings.
Yes.
That's right, Bob?
The batter up right now is Yvonne Fluck. If Cal Poly gets this run across the plate, they have the game right here. So Cal Poly's first game, first run, they scored on one of their only two hits, a Texas League single by Sherry Fertitta, and then on a pickoff throw, which sailed into right field, she came all the way around to score. Fresno's only run was a home run by Vernie Miller. And so we have a tie ball game right here, and Cal Poly's tying run is about 60 feet away, or however the base is. Oops. Yvonne Fluck just struck out, so Cal Poly left a possible tying or possible winning run stranded, and we're going to go into the bottom of the ninth. That means a second extra inning here. Girls' softball is really exciting. If you can, come on out. There'll be another 7-inning game following this one. And it should be a lot of fun.
That's true, Bob. And, of course, also up here, I've got a different vantage point. You're down there right behind the area, right behind the home plate area, and I'm right on top of the home plate area, up the hill a little bit, so to speak. And I'm up here with former Cal Poly basketball player Becky Puckett, and you've been watching the game through most of the game as it's been going. And how does Cal Poly look to you?
Pretty good. They're not hitting again as well as they hope to, but their defense is holding up pretty well.
They're really giving Janine Cardiff out there in left field a lot to think about, especially with those line drives that they've been hitting her.
Yeah.
She had some problems to you, does it look like out there in left field she's had a little problem?
Yeah, I haven't seen that before happen to her. It's just they jumped on the pitches so quick, you know, she didn't have time to react. So hopefully it won't happen too often.
Yes. Janine, of course, has come out of nowhere, really. She's hit a couple of home runs in the last couple of series. She hit the one to beat UCLA. That's right, UCLA. Sounds kind of prestigious, Cal Poly over UCLA, but we beat him 1-0 in the second game of a doubleheader. And as we look here, I think it's the top of the ninth inning, you said, Bob?
Yeah, top of the ninth.
And there, we look out there in the top of the ninth inning, and we have one out as the first Fresno person comes up and pops out to right field. And so far out there, Cal Poly is looking very good as far as a few defensive situations that they have had. The one problem, of course, Janine Cardiff in left field had a couple of long fly balls. I mean, they were ripped. They were she was just sitting there and, oh my gosh, look what's coming. And they just kind of got by her. And if you look out here on the soccer field in left field, there are no fences. Or if there are fences, it's like the dimensions of Dodger Stadium. You look out there, it's got to be 360 down the left field line. And to get one of these girls to pop it out, you have to have somebody awfully strong to do it. And if it gets by, especially in center field, behind Renee Poitier in center field, boy, she's going to have a long run to go. And it's so easy to get the girls to run around here in run around and get in to score.
You're in the top of the ninth right now, right, Randy?
That's right. We have a long fly ball to Cardiff in left field, and she handled that one. She almost lost that one over there. She handled a good job over there.
Two down in the top of the ninth, and we'll be right back with you right after this.
A little bit lying out there in the middle of left field. Cardiff, she and Cardiff ran into each other going for the long fly ball hit by one of the Fresno players, and Cardiff almost kept the ball, which would have made it a spectacular play, but she ended up getting it jolted by the impact. And Bob, from your angle, how did it look to you?
It looked like it was Cardiff's ball all the way. She was running for it. She obviously had more speed than the center fielder, and it appeared they tangled, and it almost looked like Cardiff had the ball. Then all of a sudden she juggled it fell to the ground, and when you looked at what was happening, center fielder Renee Porteur was down on the ground. She wasn't getting up.
Becky, I was wondering, how do they work signals out? Yeah, so I can get it out here in the middle of sunshine. How do they work signals? And I noticed Janine Cardiff now going to play the third base line really tight, leaving a big, humongous gap out there in left center. How do they get signals? Is it like calling, just calling?
Yeah, they just call for their ball. Like, sometimes, I guess Renee called it and Janine called it. That's a problem. Sometimes both of them call it, and then when they're yelling, they can't hear the other person call it either. So, it's mostly just calling, and I guess there's a mix-up.
As we look now down on the field, there are two out, if I'm not mistaken, and Cal Poly, or Fresno, that is, Fresno State has a runner at second base, and the Mustangs right now, if they get out, will have an excellent chance to score in the bottom of the inning. And so far, Bob, Kim Graham is down there, and how's she been doing so far?
Kim has almost been in total control the whole game. She's allowed six hits now, but she hasn't been in trouble except for these last two innings. I believe last inning, Fresno had a runner at second, and now because of Sue Lewis's double, or I don't know if they ruled it a two-base error, Sue Lewis of Fresno is on second, so she may be tiring a little bit, but she has been strong, along with the Fresno pitcher Carolyn Norris, who has also been strong. I think Fresno may have been overlooking Cal Poly a little bit. Coming into this game, Fresno 6-0, undefeated, Cal Poly 3-8, and I think they may have overlooked him a little bit. Cal Poly, there's been lots of spirit. The bench has been yelling all game, and I think they really want this game.
And as we go... I'm sorry, Bob. And as we go along, we see the crowd, and it just keeps getting bigger. We've got a second game, remember, here at the soccer field, and I'll be here with Bob throughout that. We're just kind of taking you up until the final waning moments of this first one, and of course, then we'll send it back to Dave. But as we look down there on the field, as this game continues on, once again, I want to comment on the fact that Cardiff is out there in left field. And, Bob, is there really a reason that she is kind of guarding the line the way she is? Is that because maybe one of the hitters, that's because she got burned out there, or what?
I don't really know why. It's just, I guess, from most of the Fresno hits, including the home run that scored Fresno's only run and the triple, which came right after it, have been just rising shots right down the line. And also, it's interesting to note, most of Fresno's batters are left-handed, so they will be hitting down the left field line. So I think Cardiff may be getting a little wary, and it's better to be safe than sorry. So she's guarding that line, making sure that nothing's going to get past her.
Fresno State has runners now at first and second in the top of the ninth inning, and it's a 1-1 tie, Cal Poly and Fresno State. Graham in the windup. The pitch is a high pop fly to shortstop. Fertitta calling for it and makes the catch for out number three. So the Cal Poly Mustangs are going to come up in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they've got three people who could probably get some runs in. Bob, who's coming up in the bottom of the ninth? Do you know?
I don't know. As soon as I see the first batter, I can probably give you a rundown on it, but I don't know who the last batter was on in the last inning.
Bob and Randy, how about if we come back to you right after this, all right?
Good deal.
Okay.
Dave, and Cal Poly is starting to mount an attack here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Leanne Britt led it off with a base hit to right, left field, and so she's over there at first base, and Kim Graham's up, and I got Becky here, and Becky went down there to see exactly the injury report on Renee. What is the story with Renee?
She's okay. I guess she just twisted her ankle a little bit, but she feels all right. She'll probably go in again.
So she's okay then. She had a little trouble with it. Okay, Bob, as we look down there, Kim Graham is up, and Kim so far is doing pretty well against the pitcher.
Yes, she's attempted to bunt twice. Here she goes again. She pulled back. Runner's going for second. The throw. She dives, and she's out. So the Mustangs have just had the possible tying run erased from the base paths. A little risky there, possibly. You're supposed to go for the tie at home, but I guess you can't do that because it's already tied. So the Mustangs with the big gamble. Leanne Britt trying to steal, and she's thrown out. So the bunt sign will be off now for Kim Graham.
We'll have to see now if Kim will be really just swinging for it here. Now that the run is eliminated off the base paths, we have one out now due to Leanne Britt, and who's got thrown out going for first pitch on the way. Line shot in the left field line, foul. Foul ball. First thing I'd like to do, and we're out here in the middle of the men's, right by the men's area, right in a kind of quadrangle between the racquetball court, the soccer field, and the swim stadium. First thing I'd like to do is, this is the first time we're using a new unit here on the top of the building, and next pitch on the way, foul back right over by Bob. Did it? How close was that, Bob?
A little too close for comfort, but not too bad.
Anyway, I was going to say that this unit that we're using, as you can tell, it sounds just like we're doing it out of the newsroom, and that is impressive, I really must say. We'd like to thank KCBX here in San Luis Obispo for letting us use this unit, and it is just incredible that the action and the quality and tone clarity that we are getting off of it. So we'd like once again to thank KCBX for letting us use this dynamic piece of equipment. Anyway, we're in the bottom of the ninth inning. Graham's still up there, and there's ball four. Graham is over there, goes to first base, so one out, and I think that'll bring up Linda Edo.
No, that'll be Robin. It should be Robin Down, yes. I believe.
I think I've got strike one on me, and I haven't even come up to bat yet.
Robin plays first base. She hasn't, she's 0 for, I guess, 3 so far this game, but hit here could make her the hero.
She's batting from the right side. Long, high fly ball to short second base. Shortstop makes the play for the second out. So Graham's still at first base. Ball gets away from the pitcher, but no advance by Kim. And that should bring up down there.
Linda Edo.
I was right anyway. I was right, except I was close.
Sports editor is always right.
So Linda Edo will come up now. Linda has a two-out winning run over there at first base for Cal Poly. A 1-1 tie, bottom of the ninth inning. Pitch on the way. Line shot in the left field. A base hit. Graham will go past second base and hold. And now the Mustang winning run is in scoring position. And here comes Janine Cardiff. And Janine, last time up, I happened to notice, Bob, she struck out a little on a wild pitch. And it looked like once Janine gets really excited and goes after the ball, sometimes she can tend to, swing wildly. Let's hope she doesn't do it here.
Yeah, she might have been pressing a little bit. As you know, she's come on pretty strong lately, hit that home run against UCLA. So she might feel that the game is resting on her shoulders a little more than it actually is.
First pitch on the way is low for a ball. That's 1-0. Graham leads away from second base. She is the winning run. If she can come in to score on a Cardiff hit, that's the ball game. Pitch on the way gets away from the catcher. Graham will go to third. The throw to third is not in time, and Graham's in there on the pass ball. I guess what she'll do is maybe a wild pitch on the pitcher.
Kim Graham, who stands on third base, her fortitude at the plate may eventually lead to Cal Poly winning this game. The count against her was 0-2. She tried two bunts and fouled away both of them.
Next pitch into Cardiff is inside.
On one of those bunts, there was quite a controversy. The ball was almost right on top of the plate, and the umpire called it foul, and Coach Val Felice came over and was talking to him a little bit, but I guess she's satisfied because she's down there coaching at third now.
Janine Cardiff there with two outs here in the bottom of the ninth inning, and if I'm not mistaken, a 3-1 count, and they call timeout there. Graham's over at third base. She is the winning run. Over at second base is a run that really doesn't mean much if Graham can come over, and that's, of course, Robin Down, the first baseman. Val Felice wants to talk to Cardiff, and while they're at it down there, the Fresno team is going to have a little discussion together and try and get some strategy going. And, Bob, this win, if they can pull it off, would really give them a break off. Really give him a psychological lift, to say the least, going into that second game.
Yes, it would. This game is a non-conference game, so you could say it doesn't mean that much, but if you see these girls out here, see them yelling, see what they're doing, they want this game very badly. And, of course, tomorrow there will be a conference doubleheader down at Santa Rosa Park starting at 12. Do you know who that is against, Randy?
If I'm not mistaken, it's against Cal Poly Pomona, and the Mustangs beat Pomona last time in the first game, the league game. So they only have 3 wins out of 11 games so far, but they did beat Pomona in that first one, so it should be pretty good.
Do you guys have a really big crowd out there still?
Yeah, it's pretty big. Off to the right, the crowd, I can't really see because there's a great deal of people under this one tree sitting out in the shade, and it appears there's a great crowd down the right field line. Down left field, they're sitting atop. There's a gently sloping hill that comes down to the field level here, and it seems like there are a fair amount of people up there. I think the crowd may make this game very good, too, because the girls really want to perform in front of the home folks.
When is the second game going to start? Hello, when's the second game of the doubleheader going to start, folks?
Number 14, Janine Cardiff, just grounded to second base, and so the threat is over. We're going to go into the top of the ninth inning.
Top of the 10th inning.
Top of the 10th inning, excuse me. And it's still tied at 1-1.
Dave, I'll tell you, I'm going to give it right back to you here, and we'll take it back in the bottom of the 10th.
Okay, and we're back here at the studio, and we're going to try and go right now out to our other remote, which is out at the carnival, stationed at the parking lot of... What is it at? Food Industries, that's right. I've only gone there 4 times, and I can't even talk about it. But let's go out there and see if we can get a pretty good sound from you. Hello, what's going on out there?
Okay, we're back here at the carnival, and there's one booth here I just couldn't resist. It's an egg throw, and I just grabbed somebody who just got done massacring this guy with eggs. Tell me a little bit about it, John.
Well, I'll just ask you to tell us. They're just throwing eggs at the thing. Just trying to cover him up.
He has a black raincoat on. This guy is just getting killed. Did you hit him very often?
Quite a bit. Not
really hurt. Now we'll go over to Tim, and he has another really interesting guest here.
Hey, Tim. We're right now standing next to a Count Dracula dressed in his tuxedo with his long silk cape on. And, Count, do you have a little advice for the people if they want to be entertained here at Poly Royal 77?
Yeah. Poly Club has a haunted house in the UU Plaza, and we will be dying to see you again. It's really hot today, and I think I've died a few times as it is. Please, we'd like to invite you. I mean, see you there.
The Count, I imagine, is pretty warm right now. He's been standing out here for about 20 minutes to a half an hour, greeting some of his friends, looking at them up and down, so to speak, and I imagine he is quite warm. Count, that activity, the Haunted House, is sponsored by the Rally Club?
Yes, it is. We have a ladder climb also here at the carnival. That's why we're down here.
Okay, how long will that haunted house be open today and tomorrow?
Okay, it's open till about 6 o'clock tonight, and it starts again tomorrow at 10:30 till about 6 o'clock again.
Okay, thank you. We're standing here with Vivi St. Amand and some of the other people at KCPR Radio, and we'll go back to you, Dave.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim. We're going to get back right to the softball game right now. Randy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm out here, right here from my vantage point out in top of the softball area. Bob Schultz and I are in two different positions, which makes it kind of hard to do complimentary play-by-play. And as we look out here on the field, Cal Poly is on defense now. Fresno State is up. They have one out, if I'm not mistaken, Bob. And so far, Kim Graham's holding her own down there.
She sure is. I don't know if Cal Poly has any relief pitchers, because when I spoke to... one of the players, they had only 2 pitchers of record. Back down here on the field, the Pomona player just beat out a slow rolling roller to second. So there's a Pomona runner on first. Not Pomona, I'm thinking ahead till tomorrow already. Fresno, that's right, Bob. Fresno runner at first base. And so we have a winning run at first base with one out.
And a potential go-ahead run over there for Fresno. And, of course, I understood when they started off this season that Robin Down was supposedly their third pitcher. Now, remember, Laureato, and there's a line shot in the left field for a base hit. Fresno runner stopping at second base. So Fresno has runners at first and second with one out. But getting back to Robin, I understand that Robin Down was the third pitcher for Cal Poly when they started off their season against the Sunbirds, and the professional softball team that came here to Cal Poly and, to put it mildly, blew out Cal Poly 6-2-8 in their opening practice game. But Robin supposedly was doing the pitching, and then Laureato came in, and she struck out something like 13 Sunbirds and just gave herself a starting position. So now Robin is over there playing first base for Cal Poly, and it doesn't look like, unless something happens, really, and Kim gets really bombed as far as hit barrage by Fresno, she's not going to be being taken out. Wind up to Graham now. Runner drifts away from second base.
It appears the Cal Poly players are expecting a bunt. They're running forward. I always wondered what would happen if someone swung away. That'd be a mean hit on the head.
Either that or we'd see a nice little cartoon thing or a hole. There's
That's
a bunt. It's flying down
first,
in first base.
First
goes over to second, and the bases are
Robin
loaded
down
for Fresno.
Whoops.
That was a real freak play. They both, the third baseman and first baseman, both charged the bunt, and the bunt just got right under Robin Down's glove and went right by Kim Graham, who was trying to cover it up, right out to second base. And Jolene Matsunami at the time had run over to first base to cover, and that was a kind of an error base hit.
Can't hear what I'm saying. I think we had a little stereo there, a little double play-by-play. As Randy said, we're in two different broadcast positions, so it's a little difficult to keep account of who's broadcasting what at which time, but...
It's probably my fault. What I'm doing right now, you have the monitor down there, and I'm kind of listening in Dave's radio, so for what it's worth.
So now we have Fresno with, I believe, one out, runners at second and third, and we have a left-handed batter. Janine, let's see what Janine Cardiff does in left. She doesn't appear to be hugging the line as much, but she's still playing pretty straightaway left field.
There's a very big, humongous gap out there in left center field, so if somebody could punch it out there, you've got yourself some runs.
There sure is. See if you're a prophet, Randy, on the next pitch.
I hope not.
It's a little pop fly out to shortstop. And number 21, Sherry Fertitta, makes a catch. So there are two out now. And Kim Graham, who's had to pitch out the last two innings with runners at second, now has runners at second and third and two out.
That was a big batter to get out, Bob, because with a one-to-one tie, that and one out and the bases loaded, Graham had to get that second person. Now all they need is a little force out, and that's it.
Also, when you have runners on in scoring position, the best kind of out is a little pop-up. Because runners can always advance on a ground ball or a deep fly ball, but a pop-up is probably the ultimate thing that could have happened to the Mustangs, the best thing that could have happened. But Kim Graham still looks surprisingly strong. This is the 10th inning, mind you. Girls usually play 7-inning games, and so it's pretty much like a major league pitcher pitching 12 innings of a regular season game, and you won't see that very often.
You know, you don't see it too often either in softball. A lot of elbow problems, even though, granted, you do see some. But they say, I was talking to some of the Cal Poly softball players, and some of the pitchers just indicate that kind of going underhand the way they do is kind of a natural type motion, unlike throwing overhand, which means you have to start using different muscles and muscles that aren't really designed to do that type of thing.
Yes, underhand is a much more natural motion than overhand. You pretty much eliminate the shoulder problem as a physical problem. But the other thing to remember is when you think of girls softball, you think of a nice leisurely game, slow underhand pitch. These underhand pitches are coming in there pretty fast. I would not want to be hit by one. Fresno batter at the plate. Kim Graham looking in. Here's a pitch. Fouled away behind the plate. So remember, we have two out runners at second and third. Mustangs can get through this inning. Next inning, they'll have Renee Portour, who I talked to one of the players and found out she'd injured her wrist in that collision in the ninth inning. She'll be leading it off, followed by Sherry Fertitta. Pitch is high bouncer to second. They're going to go to the plate. She's safe.
That was a kind of risky play down there as Matsunami took a chance. She tried to beat the runner at home plate, and the runner at third base for Fresno had a good lead already, got off to a good start, and just could not get the out. So probably the better play would have been if Matsunami could have turned quickly and threw to first, but of course hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah, I think Matsunami, having the play in front of her, instead of turning to first base and probably seeing it was too late there, just decided to go for what she knew, and she could see home plate very clearly, charging in from second base, but the throw is just a little too late. And now we have Fresno with a 2-1 lead here in the top of the 10th inning. The Mustangs are going to have to reach inside himself for a little bit extra in the bottom of the 10th and see if they can come up with the win, with a tying run at least. And, of course, Fresno is not yet out in this top of the 10th inning. We could see some more runs here, although I certainly hope not. Pitch is low for ball one.
For Cal Poly down there on the field, you've got Edo playing in a little bit at third, but they're not expecting a bunt, and the same with down over at first base.
That pitch was a strike from Kim Graham. Of course, you've got to think of the second game, too. This first game is going to take a lot out of these players. Next pitch is popped up. Kim Graham coming in. She makes the catch. And there, that's the second out. So, we may have underjudged the severity of the situation. There was actually runners at second and third with nobody out. So Kim Graham, if she can get through this inning allowing only one run in, she will have done herself a good service. And of course, now the bases are loaded, full of Fresno players. And Kim Graham, the pitch across is a little high for ball one.
taking a look at that outfield alignment again, Bob, and Cardiff once again more or less guarding that third base line. You've got that gap in center. Portier's going to have a lot of area to cover if it comes out to her at all.
That pitch is lined to left center. It's going to go through. Center fielder Portier cuts it off into third. The throw, she is out at third. So we had three runs score. The batter tried to stretch it into a triple, but Rene Portier's throw from left center got her out. And Randy, it was interesting to note that you were talking, and you said that there was a gap in right center. But just to show you how skilled these women are in baseball, that triple or that double then thrown out trying to stretch it into a triple was hit into a tiny gap between the center fielder and the left fielder. The center fielder was playing almost, or at least on the left field side of center field.
That is right. That is right, Bob. And, of course, that, as I mentioned, Portier, who got hurt like about an inning back, had a lot of ground to cover because Cardiff was over there on the left side, and he had Flock over there in right field, and it was kind of guarding the line. And there were these two big wide-open spaces. And finally, after about 10 innings, Fresno finally took advantage. We're going to take it back to the station real quick, and then we'll have your bottom of the 10th for you. The score, it's Fresno 4, Cal Poly 1.
Okay, we're back here at the station, and now we're going to try and go out to the parking lot at Food Industries at the Carnival, and hopefully we can get our on-the-spot reporter to speak up a little bit. We were having a hard time receiving them, but let's see what we got there. Kim, are you there?
We're back here at the Carnival, and I found another really interesting exhibit here. It seems to be a water duck, and we have Carl here, who was just getting splashed into the water quite a few times. Carl?
Yeah, this is the Farm Management Club, and we've got this dunk tank, and it's turning out really good. It's pretty fun to get up there with the hot weather and stuff, and everybody throws balls at you.
Have you gotten dunked very often?
Yeah, I went in about 20 times in the last half an hour. It's getting a little old after a while, but it's still fun. Little kids.
Thanks, Carl. And we have another interesting guest. You're a clown.
My name is Mellow Matt. I'm the clown selling balloons down here at Cal Poly today. And this is an AGR function, Alpha Gamma Rho. And it's one of our money-making publicity things that we do during the year at AGR.
Thank you very much. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Kim. We're going to go into a song here and then back to the softball game.